Hello, listeners. As you are probably aware, my book, Podcasting for Business, How to Create a Show That Makes a Bottom Line Difference for Your Company, is going to be officially released on September 10th. So to give everyone a deep dive into exactly what the book contains and how it can be used to improve your podcasting investment, I got together with Tom Fox of the Compliance Podcast Network to record a 10-episode mini-series on exactly that. It's all releasing on the Compliance Podcast Network. You'll find a link in the show notes. And I'm also going to be releasing one episode here on the company show every day until launch. I know you'll enjoy it. And if you want to get a copy of the book, you can do so at podcastingforbusiness.com/book.
This is Tom Fox, and I'd like to welcome you to an exciting new podcast entitled Podcasting for Business, The Book. In this podcast, we will explore the powerful intersection of podcasting and business growth. In this exploration, I'm joined by one of the business podcast industry's top experts, Megan Doherty, to discuss her game-changing book, Podcasting for Business. Whether you're a podcasting pro or just starting out, this podcast and Megan's book will be your go-to resource for turning your passion for podcasting into a powerful business tool. In this series, we'll take a look at the reason Megan wrote this book, the role of a podcast for business, and why your podcast blueprint acts as your prime directive. We look at the value math of podcasts and take a deep dive into the 15 metrics Megan suggests you consider using. We look at combining blueprints and metrics moving forward for your podcast. We say some words on recording and post-production, sound and audio quality, and then putting it all together. But don't take my word for it. Listen to Megan Doherty on why you should listen to this podcast and, more importantly, buy her book, Podcasting for Business. Megan, give me three reasons why a listener should read this book.
Because number one, there actually is a formula for profitable podcasting. Two, it's all in the book, Podcasting for Business. And three, any business can take this information and apply it and start seeing a better return on their podcasting investment.
In this episode, we begin to put it all together by combining podcast blueprints with some of the metrics we've talked about over the past three episodes. I know you'll enjoy this episode of Podcasting for Business. Hello, everyone. This is Tom Fox back again with Megan Doherty for another episode of Podcasting for Business, The Book. Welcome back, Megan.
Thank you so much, Tom. Delighted to be here.
Megan, we're going to start to put it all together here and give just a few words on a few technical issues in this episode. But I wanted to start with, how do we think through the combining of the blueprints that we talked about earlier with the metrics that we just finished three episodes on?
Absolutely. So there's as with everything else in this book, a fairly specific process to follow in order to make sure that you're kind of creating a mix that is going to work really well and be really effective. The first one is to choose your blueprint. Of course, it's your highest level goal for the podcast. If it does this and nothing else, it's still a successful show. Then you want to choose one to three specific metrics or business outcomes. And once you do that, you want to check for conflicts to make sure that the outcomes that you're trying to get aren't in conflict with the highest level goal or the blueprint. Now, this doesn't come up terribly frequently, but there are metrics that are better for some goals than others and some that don't really work for the high level blueprint. So kind of the process is you choose your prime directive first. It's the most important thing. Then what you want to optimize for and just make sure that there's nothing that's going to get in your way.
So could you give us some examples of blueprints which might not fit with certain metrics?
Absolutely. So if, say, for example, that we've got a relationship building show, a lot of metrics are going to work really well within that. Referrals, promotional opportunities, sales qualified leads, they're all really great for relationship building shows. But other things like monthly recurring revenue, labor cost savings, they might not work as well because the purpose of them is really different than building relationships. They're more about audience engagement, or they're more about conversions. And if you try to optimize for something that's kind of contrary to the goal of relationship building, like conversions, every time you ask someone to convert, you're not taking that opportunity to build the relationship with your guest. And so it's just kind of thinking through exactly what the purpose of the podcast is and how the individual metrics work. And of course, in the book, we've got a chart listing all possible conflicts for ease and convenience.
So now that you have sort of put your blueprint together, and then you've taken, first of all, how many metrics do you suggest you start with? Is there a finite number? And I recognize you just explained to us how some metrics are not going to be a fit, but if there are 10 that could be a fit, should you try for all 10, or should you narrow that down at least to start with?
I mean, if your podcast is the only thing that you're doing, you can optimize for as many metrics as you like. You'll have the time to work on all of them. But for most businesses, 1 to 3 tends to be a better starting place. Each of them take time. Some of them take a lot more time than others. And you want to make sure you're kind of focusing your attention initially so that you can get something operating really well for one business outcome. Once that's rolling and the habits are there and the workflows are there and you don't need to think about it too much anymore, you can always add more. But I find that when we try to optimize for more than 3 at the outset, there's just too much going on and it's too hard to really accurately figure out if something is working or not. So restrain the impulse to try and do everything.
So Megan, as we move towards launching, or I'm going to even add relaunching a podcast after having read your book, you've got a great section in called The 3 C's of Podcasting. And I found those to be great principles for podcasters. Can you highlight that for us?
Absolutely. And I'll also highlight my wonderful business partner, who you know, Tom Audrey-Casino. She originally came up with these on the basis of her work back in the radio days. The 3 C's are content, charisma, and connection. So content is, of course, the substance of what you're creating with your podcast, is the information you're imparting to others. Charisma is kind of the style with which you do it. So we look at 2 main charisma types. Some people are born with it. Those people that you meet them and you know them, you like them, you want to spend time with them, you want to be around them. Them just being themselves is all they need to do. Those are rock stars. And then there's the rest of us who were not so blessed with natural magnetism. And we kind of, I'm one of these, of course, they're wingmen and they thrive best when shining the spotlight on others. Understanding what you are is really going to help you play to your strengths during your show. And finally, connection is the relationship that you're building with your guests and with your audience. And it's kind of creating that feeling of mutual knowing, liking, and trusting that is ultimately going to get people coming to listen again and again.
So can you, as a host in the second category of charisma, can you sort of move from being maybe not the star, but having the light shined on you to having the light shined on the guest and taking that sidekick role throughout the podcast?
Yes, but it takes some work. It's like the 2 charisma categories, they're not set in stone. And of course, everything's on a spectrum. Some people have elements of both. But if you are naturally more one than the other, if you kind of have that natural rock star quality, you're going to need to remind yourself at the beginning of recording, the beginning of episodes, okay, this is about my guest. I'm going to talk, but I'm going to really make sure that they're the focus and they're getting the chance to share their expertise. And depending on which blueprint you've chosen, that's going to be more or less important.
In terms of you've thought through it, you've done the prep work, you've considered the metrics, you've considered the blueprints, and most people say, all right, let's go.
Let's go.
But really, there's still some work that needs to be done before the first launch.
Yes.
So could you maybe take us through that and explain why this prep work, why this background work is so critical to having success when you do launch?
Launching is always going to be a really busy time. And even when you have the sort of quietest, most modest podcast launch ever, there's still a lot of moving parts that you need to get right at the right time. There's a lot of branding and design elements that you're going to need to figure out. There's recording, there's guest research. If you're brand new to recording, it's going to be a little challenging to get into the habit of doing it. There's going to be letting people know the podcast exists. Promotion is its whole thing. And you can spend as much time as you want on your podcast. But when your time is limited, you want to make sure that when you're launching, you can be focused completely on getting the word out there about your podcast, telling your email list, telling your social media following, telling your clients, telling your parents, if that's a possibility. So having everything else done in advance and kind of having done all of that prep work means that you can actually just focus on what's most important in that moment, which is launching.
So there's multiple show structures. How do you help someone who may want to have a interview style podcast think through the show structure?
That's going to come again right back to your blueprint. And this is going to be my recurring refrain probably until the end of my days, is the type of interview that you want to have is going to vary based on what your blueprint is. In a thought leadership style show, for example, the purpose is to get your own ideas, your own intellectual property, your own brand identity out there into the world. That means that you can't have every episode that you produce be a list of Q&A that you're asking another expert, therefore demonstrating their expertise and not yours. So when you're thinking about how to structure an interview, think about what is the goal of the podcast and how does interviewing this person help me achieve that goal or that goal. In a relationship building podcast, for example, you can really make it a straight interview and you can really highlight the guests, make them feel like $1 million. That's going to build a strong relationship. That same interview would not work in a thought leadership style podcast. So think about where the focus needs to be for your ultimate goal rather than this is a podcast, it's an interview, this is what an interview sounds like.
I am a huge exponent of podcast cadence. But before I expound upon why I think it's so important, I'm going to ask you, why do you think cadence is a critical element to every podcast?
I'm going to turn that right back around on you and quote you, because you told me once that a podcast is a promise to your audience. And once you say you're going to do it, you've got to do it. And that is something as a podcaster to absolutely live by. When you say you're going to do something, when you're going to do it and what you're going to do, you should follow through on that. It's table stakes.
That's pretty good. I purloined that from the author James Patterson, and I had another friend named Jeffrey Hazlett explain it even further, that a brand, your brand, is a promise delivered. And I think that's what cadence is, a promise delivered. And I think it is absolutely critical, and I can't say it enough, and I don't say it enough, that whatever you set your cadence, it doesn't matter what it is. It could be once a quarter, but you stick to that cadence. Yep. And people know on that date, your podcast is going to come out. How do you help someone think through the number of releases per month, whether it be 1, 2, 4, or daily?
Yeah, and that obviously the more you release, the faster you're going to get traction in whatever your goals are. But few people can release an episode every day. It's a lot of work, depending on the type of show you're. Not everyone can create content like Tom Fox creates content. All things being equal, if you can manage a weekly release, that tends to be a really good balance between moving forward and managing the workload. But if you know that you're not always going to be able to commit to weekly, then it's better to start with every other week. It's always easier to add a show to your release schedule than it is to remove one. And if, like, for example, over the course of a year, if you've got really busy springs and you're never going to have extra time in spring, maybe it's a better idea to release in seasons. And you're going to have a summer season, you're going to have a fall season, then winter and spring you take off. It's all about exactly as you say, Tom, setting that expectation and then following through on it with something that's actually going to work within your business.
And then let's talk about something that I don't want to say it's controversial, but there's certainly different perspectives on whether you should have a video podcast or an audio only. How do you come out with that? Do you just present the options and let the podcaster decide, or is there some other way we should think through?
It's pretty much podcaster's choice. You're the boss of your podcast. You can do whatever you like with it. But if you're a newer podcaster, especially, I generally recommend starting with audio first. Learning how to sound good when you're recording is a skill that you need to learn. Developing comfort with interviewing or creating solo episodes, it takes work. When you add video to that, and then you have to worry about your lighting and how you look and how it's going to be edited, which is much more expensive than editing audio, it can add a lot more work and difficulty than is necessary to achieve your goals. There are times when video makes the most sense. If you've got, it's better for conversions very frequently, video. So if that's a really strong value, it might be worth investing the extra time, maybe even getting studio space. But for the most part, most podcasts tend to do well in audio first. You can always add video later, and you can always capture the video to use later and to use in your promotions as well.
What or how do you help someone think about the length of podcasts? And here I'd like to point to your annual report, the Podcasting for Business report, because I was always taught that a business podcast was 20 to 30 minutes. But your report showed, I thought, something radically different. So could you talk to us about length of time of your pod?
Yeah, so in the State of Business Podcasting Report, the most consistent result that we've had over time was that the average length of podcast is about 44 minutes long. And kind of like you, I'm surprised in that, because that is longer than most of the business or professional podcasts that I listen to. And it's possible the data is being skewed by some of those, like, really long four guys sitting at a table talking at each other for 2 hours shows that do make up a significant number of the top 100. But each episode needs to be long enough to kind of thoroughly examine a topic. And that can take, that can be done in 10 minutes, that can be done in 40. The trick is to kind of find a time that you're going to be able to be more or less consistent with every week. And I also find that if you make it a little shorter than maybe you want to, if you're like, I really would like to talk to everyone for an hour and really dig into these great ideas and really explore, make it 45 minutes. Because when you have less time, you get to the good stuff faster. So I think for utility, always a little bit shorter than you might be naturally inclined to.
Megan, I started podcasting in 2012. And if there was one thing the then experts beat into me was audio quality. And that was the number one most important thing for a podcast. We percolate along with that, those words of wisdom until the pandemic hit. And then we all got on Zoom and we all got used to suboptimal audio quality. And so I wanted to ask you or maybe explore with you the issue of audio quality. My sense was because of Zoom calls during the pandemic, listeners to podcasts would accept less than the audio quality, which I heard demanded pre-pandemic. And I know you and your business partner, Audra, are very vociferous about audio quality. Could you say a few words about that issue?
I guess for me, that one comes down to a baseline level of respect for your audience. Anyone can record into their phone, record into Zoom, and release that on an RSS feed. And people do have a familiarity with how Zoom audio sounds. Not great, but there's going to be a hard upper limit to your success when you're not investing any time or energy in your audio quality. No one's going to share a podcast episode that doesn't sound that great. You don't want to really be the person who's like, hey, listen to this podcast. Just don't mind the audio quality. Everyone's got the odd bad episode from time to time, but for a company, for a business, this is your brand. This is how you're presenting yourself in the world. Do you really want to have kind of scratchy, echoey audio being what does that? If it comes down to less like suboptimal audio and no podcast, it's better to have suboptimal audio. But if you've got the time and bandwidth by any stretch of the imagination, give your business and your listeners and your guests the respect of sounding as good as possible.
I want to flip that in two ways. First, I want to say that your highest investment should be in a high quality microphone. I just think that's critical and you can literally hear the difference. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, and it comes from my prior life as a lawyer, one of the first partners I worked for demanded absolute perfection in our billing statements because he said, number one, you want to communicate confidence, but it's your written work product you're sending out. And not only do you need to be proud of it, your client needs to trust that you're willing to put in the time to send them an accurate, thought out, and well-informed billing statement. And I've sort of used that. And in my mind, of course, that's a sick lawyer mind, ties into what you just said about respect your audience. So I absolutely agree with you on that. Could we end with a couple of thoughts on your overall recording environment?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So we all remember during the pandemic when you were recording wherever you could. And that had to be okay. But if it's possible to kind of get yourself a good place to record, and that means a room where it's quiet with not huge traffic noises outside, maybe no screaming pets and children, that is ideal. And then making sure that your room is, I call it fluffy as much as possible. And that means there are not too many big, huge, open, blank spaces that the sound is going to bounce back off of and come into your microphone. The best editors in the world can't do that much with echo. It's just part of the sound. So when you spend a little time just optimizing your space, throw some pillows around, shut your drapes, that's going to make your sound a lot better. And that really nice mic that you invested in is actually going to be able to do its job.
Megan, unfortunately, we are near the end of our time for this episode. But if our listeners wanted more information on Podcasting for Business, the book, or perhaps to even pre-order it, where could they go?
They can go to podcastingforbusiness.com/book, where they'll be able to pre-order it and get absolutely exhaustive detail on everything that we have talked about today.
Megan, I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Me too, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Podcasting for Business, the book. I hope you will check out Megan's book. We've linked to the resource in the show notes. You can pre-order it now. I would encourage you to do so and also attend her virtual Podcasting for Business conference, which will be held in May. I hope you will join us tomorrow for our next episode where we look at recording and post-production. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to visiting with you again on Podcasting for Business, the book podcast.